Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey everyone, Mr. Devil here, Kenny Danico, three-time Stanley Cup champion of the New Jersey Devils, and you're listening to the Uncle Puckers New Jersey Devils podcast with Chris, Dan, Bobby, and Tony, the Uncle Puckers. Let's go, Devils!
Puckers, how are you guys doing?
Doing good. Yeah, was brought to you by the brand new Hi-Fi Definition 8-track.
Whatchamacallit? It was a weekend of ups and downs for our New Jersey Devils. Let's start with tonight. I mean, that was fun. Just beat the Islanders, first shutout of the year. Dan, you got it, baby. You got it.
You won the game. That's
it.
Internet.
It's all yours. Everybody, give it up for Dan. He won.
They finally got their shutout. Weeks ago, he saw it coming.
I saw it coming, yeah, about a year ago now.
I thought it was going to be Allen. I didn't think it was going to be Kokkonen.
I think everybody was sleeping on Kokkonen. Like, he had a great performance in that his first outing with us.
Yes, he did.
And
I think everybody
wanted Allen to be the man? Because his name's a lot easier to say. Nobody
especially
likes to say
Kokkonen. Especially
Danico, he's having a hard time.
Then when he played the Rangers, when he was in, and he had to do Kapo Kako and Kako Kapanen, he was all messed up.
Yes, he had a hard time with that.
Yeah, he did. But you know, the good way to look at it is 3 out of 4, right? They got the last 3 out of 4, so that's something.
Yeah. I think they need a winning percentage higher than 75% to even have a chance of getting in these playoffs.
I think it's about 100%
the rest of the way out. Yeah, I mean, they got to be like really close to it. Maybe they get in. What if they drop like one of the next 12 or whatever it is?
10.
Yeah,
10 left.
Yeah,
94 points possible on the table.
I mean,
that's what you're looking at. What were the odds, Bobby? We were saying
Well, the odds this morning on Money Puck were 4.6% of the.
And we got a 3% chance of winning the draft lottery.
And we have a 3%
chance neck and of neck. Winning the draft
lottery, and we're a 4.6% chance. Now, that was, I don't know if they updated it since the game, but, I mean, I wouldn't think that we would go up that much. I mean, we only took a...
No. If the Devils were not so consistently inconsistent, we could be a little bit more excited because of that previous horrible performance.
We went down
by winning.
Oh yeah, it's a 3.6%.
I guess because you know, other teams are, you know, playing their some of their games that they have in hand and making wins out of them, maybe stuff like that.
Yeah. So the teams that we're chasing right now, the Flyers have a 92.4% chance of making the playoffs. The Capitals have a 53.1% chance of making the playoffs. The Red Wings have a 36.2% chance. They even have the Islanders at 11.2%, and then we have 3.6. Now,
still a
chance. They mentioned in the broadcast, you know, the Devils hold tiebreakers over everybody that's above them. So if this thing did come down to a tiebreaker, the Devils would have that in hand. But I mean, you're talking about
that them. Makes it sting even a little more, dude. It's like, yeah, we can beat all you guys. We just like to let all the shitty teams destroy us, and now we're not going to playoffs.
I mean, there are so many teams that they should have. I think they showed that not this game, the previous game at the broadcast. They went over all their losses to the bottom of the league, teams 32 through 26. How many losses they had at the bottom of the league? And that's really what's hurt them this year. Games just like we saw with Ottawa. It's just like, what are you guys doing? This is not the same team that showed up the game before or the game after. You know, why they lay down these studs on these weaker teams is kind of a mystery.
Man, it's not just being beat, right? Like, they didn't just play a good game and get beat. They don't play the good game.
They just don't show up.
Yeah. No, yeah, it wasn't like
maddening.
Close game where, you know, it ends in a shootout and you're just like, oh, whatever. They were flat.
You know, how do they not feel on top of the world after the two wins, right? The Penguin win, the Jet win. Now, it turns out that the Jets are just struggling right now because everybody beat them in this West East Coast trip.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter at that
time. We weakened them. Like, kind of softened the lid.
Exactly. 4-1, we beat them. We whooped up on the Penguins. And then, like, you got to be feeling good. You're playing
Maybe
at
they're
home.
Feeling too good.
You're seeing that. You're seeing that playoff spot, like that light still there, and you're like, okay, we string together 3, 4, 5, 6 in a row, but we got to start tonight. And they come out, and I watched the first period at work, and I was taping the game at home, and I got home, I put the second period on, bang, bang, right? Bratt and Nosek get up 2-1. I'm like, okay, here we go. They're turning it on the second period. I basically fast-forwarded the rest of the game because it was just – abysmal. And I felt
mistakes.
And I'm thinking to myself, should I watch the game because I, you know, do a podcast about this? I should probably. And then I thought, I've watched them do this same exact game 50 times this year.
Yeah, you've seen this game.
You don't need to see the plays. You
can still talk about Marino. Like, yeah, all the same usual suspects of, you know, bad turnovers. And
what do you guys make of Marino? I had texted, I think Bobby and I were texting a little bit late last night, and I just don't like him in this lineup right now. I just don't like the way he's playing, and I don't trust him either.
If we somehow did make it in the playoffs, I would consider sitting him, which is crazy because he was so solid last year. He's the last person I would have sat.
But at this point, the way Hataka has been playing, very admirable. Like, I mean, he's just being solid back there. And, you know, for a chip that was just thrown into the Timo Meier trade, I think he has a lot of upside.
Nick he DeSimone, takes less bad penalties than even Ball.
Yeah, and Nick DeSimone, I like his game, man. He's smart, and he just does the right thing with the puck all the time. He makes quick decisions.
Put his body on the line
puts
today.
Puts his body on the line all the time. Him and Lazar are like now have become these shot blocking experts.
Yeah,
I like DeSimone, who's a free agent, and you maybe want to think about maybe you get this guy and sign him to a term, you know, a couple of years for a 7th D man, you know, a guy that can come in and he's sitting on his ass for 2 months. He came in that game against Dallas, and he was, I thought, the best player on the ice for the Devils.
Yeah, I have to think that's a reasonable term you can get him for, you know, nothing that you couldn't handle on the books.
And it's a good depth player to have.
Yeah, with potential to be more. Yeah,
absolutely. Hey, you've been quiet there, Sexy. What's up?
No, I've been talking.
Not you.
Definitely not talking to you, Bobby.
He took his glasses off. Now he can't see anybody. Doesn't know what he's talking to him. What did you think, Tone?
Tonight's game?
Well, yeah, let's go with that. What'd you think of tonight?
Well, the first period.
What was your favorite play, Tony?
Exactly. What? I kind of had, you know, I was doing another show tonight while I was watching this game, but it was from, you know, the first period I did watch and they looked good. I missed the second for the most part, like, but you said, Chris, they looked, you said the second period was even better. I just think with something Dan said earlier, actually, with the Devils this year is I've never had any time to be excited this year with them because it has been a flat season the whole time. Yeah. So when you guys are talking about like the chances and the odds and stuff, I don't know, even like last night watching that Ottawa game, it just seems like the team we are this year. There's a lot of question marks. And you mentioned Marino. It was definitely a different Marino last year. And it's not the same guy this year. And I keep on waiting for him to come around and stuff, you know, and I don't mind DeSimone. I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do. And it's just, you know, what do you guys think about Holtz? Because I know this week I've seen like different shades of Holtz. I've seen positives. Yeah. I've seen negatives.
It's been up and down.
We talked a little bit about Holtz after the Penguin game. And look, he's got offensive talent. The kid is, you know, he can score goals. And I like, you know what it is I like about Alex Holtz? And it seems to me like he really is working on everything that they want him to work on to be a better player. He doesn't seem like a guy that just kind of brushes things off or doesn't take or just, you know, has hubris in him that he just, you know, I'm a first round pick. I can score goals. I don't have to play defense. I don't have to do win board battles. I don't have to do all that. Some young guys are, and he's not. And he seems to be getting better. And I think Travis Green has been a better influence for him, a lot better than Lindy Ruff.
I think with Holtz, you know, I mean, I think he's going to be good no matter where he winds up. And that's, I don't want to see him go somewhere else and be really good because I do think it's in him. And I didn't think this at the beginning of the year. Watching him play this year, I've seen some things with him.
So you want him to go somewhere and be terrible?
No, but I mean, I would love him to stay here and play great. You know, yeah. I mean, yeah,
he's got to get a little bit better defensively on the puck. He's making a couple mistakes that are not like he doesn't care, but it's like, I think, you know, that game against Ottawa, it was a little bit lazy. It was a little bit like thoughtless. You know, he's coming off the ice for a line change. And even though you're coming off the ice for a line change, you know, you think, oh, I'm done. You're not done. There's a pass up the boards and you just kind of like, you know, let it go by when a D-man was trying to hit you with it. And it ended up being a turnover that ended up being a goal. And it was that kind of
do play. That.
Well, you know, it's one of those things that even a great player is going to make a mistake like that once in a while. And I'm just picking on that one mistake, so it's a little out of context. But I think there's some, like, maturity on the defensive side of the puck. You know, if you look at his game and, like, somebody who's got that defensive side down really well, like Nico, you can see the difference, you know. And so, you know, if he evolves that way where he's got a better two-way game, he's going to be that much more successful because he definitely has the scoring touch. And he's a hard worker. I do want him to work out for us.
He has to work hard too because he has to know that the office, you know, we've heard like with the press conferences like 2 weeks ago
right?
and stuff. There is a bit of pressure there. There's the outlook on Holtz is not always so positive when you talk to our coaches or the GM, you know.
Sure. So, I would ask my agent, get me the hell out of here. I don't think they want him there. It's the way it sounds.
How does this work into a young player's psyche? Who's the main guy that's been talked about on the trade block for over the last 2 years? It's been him. Absolutely. So every year this dude's like, I don't know where I'm going to end up this year. And these guys want me to do A, B, C, D, and X. He seems to be doing it. I mean, he seems, like I said, he's willing to learn. He is getting better. I think he has a good upside. I would actually prefer to see him go someplace else and really turn into a goal-scoring threat and become a good player and find his spot, kind of like Sharon Govich did in Calgary.
Yeah.
Because I just don't know if the deficits that this team needs and you're going to have to go out and make some moves. I just don't know if Holtz – I would love for him to stay here. I'll be honest with you. But I have a feeling that, like, Tom Fitzgerald's going to try and – you know, he'll give up anything to get a number one goalie this summer. And I think he's going to be – wrapping Holtz up and putting a bow on his head and telling every team, look what you got, you know, check out the tape on Holtz. He's our main trade chip and we'll see. I would prefer maybe you think about getting a free agent guy and maybe keeping Holtz and working mostly on your back end and kind of mixing up that bottom six a little bit and getting some, you know, a little bit more skill and depth back there and, you know, maybe keep him. I think he has a lot of upside. Bob.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, he's definitely the player that other GMs would probably salivate over going, hey, I can mold this guy. I know what the problems are and, you know, we can fix that. And to a degree, they probably really can, although at some point a player is who the player is going to be, but he can get better. I could not sit here now and defend some of the mistakes he's made other than to say we're forgetting he's like still a rookie.
Exactly.
You know, and he's doing really well. And he has dealt with more shit as a player than I can ever recall. Having his name specifically put out there in some of these press conferences instead of just referencing the youth or the other mistakes, it does seem like he's getting an unfair share. It still is odd to me that our fans in general just seem like really divided on Holtz right now, to the point where it's like anger about, hey, this guy is sucks. How can you not see that? And the other ones who say, no, he's really great. He's somewhere in the middle. I think he's an extremely talented prospect. I think he can, on the right team, whether that be with us a few years down the road or somewhere else like a Western, I honestly could see this guy putting up 40 goals. Doesn't mean he's not going to be a minus 30, you know, but it's something he can do. You want to work your homegrown people and see if it kind of works out long term, but it doesn't always do that. We were all happy when Toffoli came here. We said, oh my God, we're getting another 30 goal scorer. This is going to be awesome. Toffoli did his job, so nothing against him, but that had a lot to do with the rest of the team being broken. I've been saying it since the middle of the year. Like, there's just too many of these people going on here. Something's got to give. Turned out we got rid of him. Will Holtz become another one of those players where it's like, I can't have you just scoring 30, 40 goals and playing like defensive crap? I don't know. But I think he deserves a little more time to figure it out.
Yeah, I do too. I don't hate him. And the defensive mistakes, you know, we've had a lot of negative this year with this team and a lot of negative on this show when they are doing bad. But there are a lot of positives to take away from this year. And the main – one of the main ones is just this – we can maybe throw Alex Holtz in this category if they had managed him differently. But look at where Luke Hughes and Shimon Nemec were. Now, they both started different times in the season. Luke has played, I think, pretty much every game. I think he's played all 72. And Shimon Nemec came in when Dougie Hamilton went down around December, November, whatever.
20-something in, maybe?
Yeah, so he played a nice chunk. And, you know, they went through their stretches, especially back in, like, December and January when the Devils couldn't get out of their own way. And especially Luke Hughes was getting a lot of shit from fans. Shimon Nemec was making mistakes. And these, you know, little by little, playing, being coached good, being put in the right positions to succeed, and them changing their game up, look how much better they've both looked in just these last 2 to 3 weeks. Yeah. Now, what if Holtz is playing, like Bobby said, with Jack Hughes all season? How many goals does he have? You know, I mean, can you work? Do you work on, or does his all around game kind of come into play a little bit better than getting for the majority of the season 5 minutes a night on the fourth line with Lindy Ruff coaching? It's really hard to gauge a guy. And then he gets thrown up into the top six with, you know, the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And we expect this guy to be a top six skilled forward. He hasn't played up here.
You're also saying he's got all these defensive liabilities. So, you know what we're going to do, kid? We're going to put you out on like these defensive lines where we just want you to help kind of control and shut down the puck. And you're going to do it in limited minutes. It's also, that's a hard thing too. He's not on the first line where they're saying, go get me one. They're saying we need to pull you back right here.
And, you know, they talked about it on the broadcast in the Penguin game. He made that really bad no-look pass up the boards without, you know, turned into a nice scoring chance. Allen makes the save. And we had mentioned it. Does Lindy Ruff bench him after that? And I think we all agree, and I still do. Yeah, Lindy Ruff probably does not give this guy any ice time, maybe a shift in the third period. But, he completely shortens his bench, and it excludes Alex Holtz if he makes that mistake. What did Travis Green do? Put him right back out there for the next shift. And they talked about it, and he ended up scoring a goal. You have to, you know, occasionally just telling somebody all the shit they're doing wrong kind of fuck, and I'm not saying that's what happened, but it kind of seemed like it. Like, after a while, that does fuck with your head. People
is
like
anybody more blindly. Has anybody put more blind passes right in the slot without looking than Luke Hughes?
Oh,
right. And I mean, Luke made a lot of mistakes, and so he's been. It's fine because he's kind of above the curve.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a double standard. I mean, Jack Hughes is to me one of the best players in the NHL. He makes glaring mistakes.
Yeah,
he drops the puck right in front of forwards a lot, or trips over his feet. These things are going to happen. Again, I'm not defending everything Holtz does. I just feel like he's getting a raw deal.
Yeah,
and now to your point,
been under a lot of scrutiny. Go ahead, Bob.
The other positives of this year, like this goal streak aside, Timo Meier, the real Timo Meier that we're
dog.
Seeing, the Gordie Howe hat trick today, sticking up for the captain. Finally, we see somebody just take. I don't care. I'm going to get the 2-minute instigator. I'm going to beat him. I'm going to get 10 minutes. Didn't care.
We're lucky that Nico did not get fucking seriously hurt on that.
Absolutely lucky.
Picture the face.
Oh, dude, did you see the hit tone? I don't know if you.
Yeah, I did
game.
See it a little bit of it. Yeah,
I don't know what Anders Lee was like thinking bent, here, man. Yeah. That was a dangerous play for both dudes. Both guys could have been injured, but man, Timo did friggin' respond. Sorry for
that. That's what you good. You don't even have to. You know, you don't need to win that fight. You need to jump the guy.
He got a couple of times
we were talking about Holtz. I'm thinking, you know, like a guy in Meyer's mold is more of the fit. Like when you're wondering, like, can we fit another Holtz on this team? Would he be better off somewhere else? Because we just don't have room for him. It's a legit question because he's another, you know, small skilled forward. But you know, look at the impact that Meyer's had with this lineup. You know, playing like he can play. That is something, and he was amazing today.
It's been a lot of fun to watch Timo Meier, or Mr. March Madness, I'm sorry. Sal called him that again in the post game to his face. I don't know if you guys saw that. Like, Sal's got to stop. Do we know the severity of Curtis McDermott's injury?
I don't know. It didn't look good when he went into the board.
The big dumb goon can't stay on his skates, man. He just slid right into the boards. But I'm just thinking of that April 3rd game against the Rangers. I really hope he's in the lineup.
That's the first thing I thought when he went down. It's like,
I didn't even think about that.
Speaking of.
He did look like such a bender going into those boards, too. Yeah. He's like, okay, all right, dude.
Have you guys seen this image going around in social media? Post about about Bastion on the wall. Yeah. I didn't verify this, but it was a post from the name of the poster, simply New York Rangers. And it's the picture of Bastion kind of sitting up against the boards after he got his bell rung. So he's sitting on the ice, but his back's up against the boards, obviously dazed in the face. And the caption, again, this is not verified as far as I know, says, Remke was laughing his ass off when I asked him to sign this. Gave me his word, McDermott is next. And it's a photo signed by Remke. Again, could be completely doctored. Don't know, don't care. I'd be more concerned with the Ranger fan who thinks that's funny to fucking do.
I saw that and I didn't know if it was real or not. I saw that earlier.
It looks like it could be doctored. I don't know. I'm not trying to stir up controversy. Thank you.
Controversy.
But it's not controversy is terrible. It's not below some people to do.
You know, like claustrophobic. I mean, catastrophic.
Blowing.
Yeah, he better be in the fucking lineup for the game against the Rangers because that would just be terrible. That would just be the worst.
Yeah, so I don't know if we ever had anybody in a cast on skates, but I think we should. I mean,
you can beat somebody
he's not
with
skate
cast
that much
good.
Worse. He's not going to skate that much worse with a cast on his foot.
No,
than he normally does anyway.
Exactly.
We I mean, don't really
if
need.
You have to put him out there on a walker. I don't care.
Yeah,
just get him
exactly.
out there. Just whatever you got to
throw
do.
Him at. Rempy.
We'll get
then
six of our guys to throw him at Rempy.
Yeah, they'll just do some kind of sling maneuver like it's a roller derby or something.
Didn't Ottawa come out and make some comment that he wishes he can come back in the league just to fight Rempy?
Who?
Ottawa.
I did not see that.
I think he made some comment like that. Now, again, if this was true or not, you know, we always got to question what you see on social media.
Yeah.
But I saw a thing where he was after that hit. In the Devils game, he was saying that he wishes he can come out just for that. Just
let's sign him for a one-game contract. Right, if McDermott can't go in, we'll take
just
one-game contract.
Just the Ottawa's
still
game,
in great
buddy.
Shape.
Yeah.
He's actually a friend of a friend. I wonder if I can talk to her and see if we can find out that's true.
If Mike Tyson can still get fights. I think that we can bring in Ollie.
He beats that guy's ass. I don't even watch that stuff.
Somebody had posted one of the greatest fights on social media about a week or so ago. And I know that fighting is not part of this sport as much as it used to be. And I also know that there are a lot of hockey fans that don't like anything about it, but there is a nice chunk that still do. And if you're one of them, go look up Chris Simon versus Ty Domi. One of the best fights I've ever seen. I don't know how these dudes were still on their feet. They were just throwing bombs at each other. It was when Simon was an Avs and who the hell was Domi playing for? Probably Toronto.
But
it was just an amazing, awesome fight that went on really way too long and they didn't stop, man. Like these guys had a motor on and it was an awesome fight.
Yeah.
Chris Simon was a hell of a man. That's, you know, we talked about it last episode I was on. It's a bummer, man. He was.
Yeah, that sucks.
It kind of hits home because, you know, that was our, you know, we were coming of age. That was one of the guys that we saw play a lot, you know, we watched his whole career and stuff. And, you know, Calgary, he, you know, he was a big part of that team and stuff too. So, yeah, it's just, you know.
Well, let's see how we did on our predictions, boys. So every week, the Uncle Puckers do three predictions for the week ahead for the Devils. So this is our accountability session for the Vegas Golden Knights, the Penguins, the Winnipeg Jets, the Ottawa Senators. I will start with myself. I said that the Devils would chase whoever was in starting in net for the Vegas Golden Knights. That was wrong. I said that Brady Tkachuk would have the game-winning goal last night against us with Ottawa. Again, I was wrong. I said that Palat would lead the team in points against the Pittsburgh Penguins. I was wrong. He was tied with two with about five other guys. So, once again, I got no points. Tony,
that was close.
You said that Vegas would beat the Devils by two or more goals. And that was good for a point.
Unfortunately.
You said that Jake Allen would get at least one win this week. That was good for a point.
I don't know if we should give him that
one. I know. That was a big... Oh, you made another... You did another switch for this week. And you said that Crosby would have a goal against us. He did not.
He would if that fucking paddle didn't stop that one, man.
That was a great save.
Yeah, cost me that third point right there.
Bobby, you Rooting said... against
the Devils, yeah, for your points. I see you.
You said that Jake Allen will allow two or less goals in all his starts.
Now, did I exactly say that? Because my notes say his next two starts.
Yeah.
And then I remember you guys talking about changing that.
You said he would allow two or less goals in his starts, like whatever starts.
Yeah, because I thought he was only starting two, and they gave him that third game in a row.
Yep, and that's the one that me.
Tony,
him.
Can I borrow a point from you since you get such easy ones?
Actually, you're going to steal one coming up here, if I remember correctly. You had a little lame prediction, too.
The one you helped me out with?
Exactly.
You said that Jesper Bratt would not score a game-tying or game-leading goal. You were correct.
That's a good one, Bobby.
He didn't get – I thought he tied that.
He tied the Ottawa game on Saturday. It was 1-0 after one, and he scored the first goal, made it 1-1.
I think Bobby said
– My prediction was that it would not.
Would not.
Oh, betting against
take that
him
point
doing
away
it.
From that.
Nah, okay, I'll play. I'll play fair.
I will take that. Point.
Yeah, it was my way of saying that he's not.
Okay, my bad.
You're thinking like he was not going to be a factor, and I got you.
Yeah, he hasn't been a factor in those types of goals for a while. So that's where I was going with that. I'm happy to see him get off that. Of course.
Yeah, he's played great the last few games.
Played very well.
Yes,
playing great. Your third prediction was. This one, you walked into it, B. You really did.
I did walk into this.
This was the one you said that Max Willman would get at least one start. Now, originally you wanted Nolan Foote in, but Tony had told you Nolan Foote was injured. Yeah, so you said, all right, then just give me Willman.
Just give me Willman.
Night,
that
he was put in.
I'll take it.
That's good.
There you go. There you go,
all
Bobby.
Right, Tony, you said that Vegas will – did I do you already?
Yes, you did.
You did, right?
Oh, long time ago.
All right, Dan, you're last.
Yes.
You said that one Devil will be injured or miss a game.
There we go.
You were wrong.
What about you said,
oh, shit.
Shot
McDermott. I was right.
Right. Absolutely. You are right. Okay.
It's hard. Chris got to look all this shit up. We just sit here and go, what did we do?
Guys, this is a first time. Sure this is a time. First time in the Uncle Pucker prediction history. All right? Just wait for it. You said that our penalty kill will be perfect in one or more games.
Yes,
and that was correct.
Yep.
And so right now you're 2-0, two for two. And you said that the Devils would get a shutout.
Finally.
And yes, sir, they got the shot.
Wait a minute, isn't that shot this week?
That's the trifecta.
Isn't that for this week's game?
Oh, shit. You're right. I'll take that away. I'm terrible for
you. You're just giving everybody points.
Take that shit back.
You're right.
The shutout is for this week's game.
You don't get the shutout for this week. I screwed up.
You're getting it for next week's
game. The end of this week. You had to make the prediction for the Islanders game, which you didn't technically do.
Oh, yeah. We didn't do these two games
together.
Yeah,
so you got – all right, so it still hasn't happened that somebody got them all right. I got all confused. But – so I have to take away 1 point from Bobby.
Bullshit.
And everybody else is right.
Give it to Tony.
So right now in the standings, Dan is in the lead with 17 points.
What?
Yeah. Tony is – Bobby's in second place with 13 points. Tony's in third place with 12 points. Tony's in second place. He has 17. Bobby, you have 13. I have 8.
Sounds a little bit better.
Me and Tony are tied then. You said I had 17.
You're right.
Chris, how many edibles have you?
We're getting a new mathematician over here.
Chris is higher than Cam.
Guys, I'm exhausted. I am so tired.
That
new
patty is just like melting, right?
Yeah, I'm just exhausted. All right, hang on 1 second.
Don't worry about it.
Let me see. Tony has 17 points. Dan has 17 points. You guys are tied. Yeah. I took that one away from Tone or from Bobby. So Bobby now has 13 points. I have 8. Let's do predictions for this week.
Oh.
We did a couple that we texted to each other because we had the Islander game and we were coming on after that. So this is predictions for today's game for the Islanders, Tuesday night against the Maple Leafs and Friday night in Buffalo against the Sabres. Bobby, your first prediction was that Bratt would score against the Islanders.
Yeah, I saw him heating up. Maybe we'd get a goal.
Tony, what was your first prediction?
Now, see, I didn't think these were actually predictions for the, I just thought this was like, what do you think is going to happen tonight during the game?
Okay, so give me your first prediction.
Okay.
I'm going to go into
the Meyer will be the point leader the next, what is it? We're going on 3 games, right?
3 games.
Meyer will be the point leader in those 2 games.
So he's starting off with 2 points already, so we'll give you that, I guess.
I didn't even realize that, but thank you.
Meyer will lead in points.
Hold on.
What?
Like, I'm looking at the text thread. This is pretty much black and white kind of shit.
What did
you said, I should be home around 9 o'clock tonight. Let me know if anyone has any predictions for the Islanders game today. And Dan, it's your turn for Devils You Know. I gave a prediction. You said
Chris
you got
always
it.
Says.
You gave a prediction. And then Tony said, Palmieri gets a point against
us
tonight.
That's what I thought he said.
But it was literally... I just thought it was like, you know, Chris always says every game, what do you guys think is going to happen tonight?
It said who's going to score the game
winner? He says predictions. You're not getting off the hook on this one.
Look how slick Tony is.
Point tour.
I'll keep that Meyer one, too, though, so...
That's fine. You can keep the Meyer
but that's
one, but your
bullshit,
second prediction. No, it's
not. You literally answered it. It's not at all.
Chris, every game, Chris is like, what do you think is going to happen? Who's going to score
this? And he'll usually say, this is not a prediction. Just, hey, what do you think? Yeah.
Right.
No, you
this
burned.
I specifically said, if anyone has any predictions for the Islander game, give it now. I don't know how you can be less vague.
You
I don't
cannot misconstrue that.
It's perfectly, it's pretty automatic, dude.
Binding.
And then you gave us a prediction. Just because it didn't come through, you can't fail.
You almost had it, but Palmieri tried to throw the goal in.
That's fine. Dan, your first prediction.
Well, you know what mine was. It's the perennial shutout prediction.
Dan says it, and it happens. I love it. My first prediction.
That's right, Dan. You're already starting off the week with points then, right?
With that,
yeah.
Nice.
My first prediction, and this is when I said to you guys, was that the Devils will have their first shootout this week. They have not had a shootout all year, and I think this week, well, they'll think, I'm just going to throw a prediction out there, that they're going to get their first shootout. I'm not saying if it's going to be a win or a loss, but they will be in a shootout. Bobby, your second prediction.
Looks like Toronto is one of the worst teams on the penalty kill. I'm going to go with 2 power play goals against them Tuesday night. 2
you know,
or more, of course.
Before, 2 or more, gotcha. I want to just ask you guys, like, I was thinking, like, the Leafs are pretty much set in their playoff slot, right? They're third, and they're pretty solid third. I'm curious. We play them 3 times now before the end of the season. I'm curious what we're going to get from them. They are literally probably the only team in the East that's playing for nothing, you know?
You're right. They can't move up.
Yeah.
They're not going to fall out.
Like, I mean, they might, like, protect their lineup last game when there's only, like, 3 games left in
April
11th.
I'm not thinking that, but I'm just thinking, do you think you might not get the full effort from Toronto?
I think
in the beginning you will.
Minor leaguers up, I think you'll – if it means absolutely nothing, they're going to have some of the guys from the –
They might want to take a look at a couple of guys, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, that could maybe be an advantage for us, you know.
Could be, at least on paper, but,
Wait a minute, if you're suggesting that they're going to come in –
not happy.
Sorry, Dave. If you're suggesting they're going to come in with a weaker team, that does not become advantage Devils.
That's true. Exactly what I'm saying. Because like it seems like the weaker team's the one that gives us the worst trouble.
You're right. Don't sit any of the big four, big three, four, really. All right, Dan, your second prediction, sir. You already got your shutout. I don't know what you're going to do for an encore.
Well, it's like, how do you go up? Well, here's what I would say. The Devils will get give up no more than four goals in these three games.
Wow.
Okay.
So that means they're going to average two or less over these next two games.
Four or less total
over those. Yep. Yeah, over the three games, which we know there was no goals in this game. So
absolutely. All right, Tony, your third and final prediction.
Devs will win two out of the next three.
Well, there's only two games left.
Oh, that's right. That we're going three games.
You could say
I'm not giving you that one, the automatic win today.
They'll win one of two. Thank you, Bobby.
God damn it. That's my second prediction.
Thanks, Bob.
Well, I'm a little bit more.
Got you back.
I'm a little bit more descriptive. I have the Devils will beat the Leafs and lose to the Sabres.
Okay.
So that's what I'm going with. All right. Bobby, your third and final prediction.
Let's see. Buffalo, Rasmus Dahlin is their leading scorer with 52 points. We will hold him off the board.
We'll get on that. All right. Dan, your third and final prediction.
The Devils will win the next two games.
Going over the top.
It'll be 3-0 over the course of these three games that we're
third prediction is that the Devils will score a goal this week with their goalie pulled. Finally, we will not give up the empty netter, and we will tie a game with a goalie pulled and do what we do.
I just feel like Patrick Waugh, 6 minutes left. Minutes left.
That was a long, isn't it?
A lot of time.
I don't know, man. Waugh, I don't like him.
He's out there.
I just don't like him. And I don't think he's a very good coach. But whatever. It's not our coach. No. Sorry, guys. All right.
No. Who our coach is going to be?
No, it's going to be a fun, interesting summer.
Maybe it's Travis Green. Who knows?
It might be. It might. How would you guys feel about that? With just a little bit that you've seen, I know everything's going to depend on these next 10 games.
It sure does. Yeah, it sure does.
You know, what do you guys think of Travis Green so far?
Probably wouldn't go over a year, and I would keep the interim tag for a year. Give him a little raise, let him feel comfortable, but I would analyze the shit out of this. I mean, we go on a miracle. Want to make the playoffs?
Just call him a head coach. Why let him walk around with
it? All right, fine. Call him a head coach, but I would just extend 1 year.
Yeah, no, I get that. I get that makes sense. I would not go some long contract on him. You know, he's. But so far, if you have to give him a grade, I give him a B+.
Yeah, I was going to say B+.
Close to an A. Yeah, it's A- maybe. Because of a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, the players that have responded are some key players. Game situations are improving, so yeah, definitely a B+.
Yeah,
Tony, what do you think of him?
Unless like someone like Brendan Moore falls on your lap or someone like that, I say you give him one more year. Yeah, I'm just saying if though, you know, unless you get some kind of guy that.
Like a Berube who's out there?
Someone like that, you know. I figure like I don't think Carolina's going to let Brendan Moore get away. I'm just saying, for instance, like a guy like that. If not, give him a year. I mean, what's it? You know.
Well, I mean, I think if it really does for me, I don't know. I say it absolutely. These last 10 games are his biggest job interview of his life. I think he's going to have to, you know, get these guys within like a point or so of the playoffs.
So let's say he doesn't make the playoffs. He doesn't get within a point of the playoffs. Maybe they go 6-4, 7-3, 5-5. But noticeably the play is that much more consistent and better. That makes it even harder. What do you do?
Well, I'll tell you one thing I really like about Travis Green, which is a complete opposite of Lindy Ruff, is his willingness to change things that aren't working. And I found that, like, I thought Lindy Ruff was extremely stubborn with certain things, and just it was absolutely, we're just going to keep on doing it and keep on doing it the exact same way and hope that things change. He's very quick to go off of things. And I know Lindy Ruff was big on juggling his lines, but I think that was the only thing.
I don't think he changed the formula.
Was what, you know, just I thought made things even more confusing throughout the course of a game. So I like that there seems to be some more stability with this team. You know, I have no issues with Travis Green so far. He hasn't
Definitely too small of a sample to like really base a long decision on. And we're not going to get a real long enough. There's only 10 more games. But, you know, I could see him being considered. So, you know, especially if it goes well from here on out.
You know, regardless of what happens, and even the fact that our, you know, our old nightmares came back like flubbing to Arizona the other day, there's a sense, right, that if this – all of this would have been done before that we wouldn't be here. Like, we're still going to have a game or two where you screw up and no one's going to win out and all that kind of stuff. But there really is kind of a sense like, wow, this, what really could have been. And he's a big part of that.
It really does all.
He's been part of that. Winning three out of four is average basically. And that's good. And
you never really felt that during the season. If we won three out of four, where we're like, we're here, we're back. Like, we all said it. It feels like we're about to say we're back, but we know what's going to happen tomorrow. And it did.
Yeah, right. That's the problem. Yeah, you know, and so unless, and I think I maybe move on from him if even if their play got considerably better, if those things don't change, these, you know, not being able to put together back to back games, good games, that's an issue that this team has had
all
season long.
I think our last two times we won the backside of it.
Right.
I think maybe we lost the front side. Yeah,
but even just like what happened with Ottawa, a team below you in the standings, like that's unacceptable when you are chasing a playoff spot.
This is your playoffs.
Yeah.
That should be the mentality in the room.
And that's the other thing. Have you seen a tick up in their play, like playoff hockey? Because I remember watching the Panthers last year when they were in a very similar position and they kicked it up a notch.
Yeah, not to that level.
You kind of knew that, wait a second, man, these guys are not going to be denied. We have not been there.
Well, two games ago, it looked good against the Jets. This game looked good, but not Panther 2022 good, or 2023 good.
No, they definitely don't have that, you know, killer instinct. Like, they will not be denied, as you said. That's 100% true. They still seem like a little bit fragile. Like, it could all fall apart.
Right.
I think all the Devils fans have been prepared for this.
They're all Italian.
You know, fragile. Yeah, it's been that way.
It's gonna be really fun to watch these next 10 games. I mean, I just enjoy watching them win. So, you know, playoffs, no playoffs. Yes, of course, we all want them there. But, you know, like everybody even knows, like, even if they limped in somehow, some miracle, you know, happened. I don't know, the fucking Capitals and the Red Wings, you know, all down with fucking explosive diarrhea for 2 weeks or something, then maybe we can catch them. But, like, just play good hockey. Just play fun hockey, you know?
Yeah.
That's it. I want to see them get better. I like the things that they've done in the three wins this week. I think they looked really good. They won all the games differently, which I like. And, you know, led by – you got some secondary scoring, especially in the Pittsburgh game. But who's it being led by? Nico Hischier, Jack Hughes, Timo Meier. That's how this team's going to be successful.
That's what we thought was going to happen beginning of the season.
Yep.
We'd see that kind of contribution from the top.
And the scoring first consistently.
Yeah.
Yes.
Scoring first, a little bit of goaltending. Everything else just gets cleaned up.
Yeah.
Which, amazing.
You know, sucks.
And it's a lot of goaltending. They've been great. Both of those guys have been great, and they've stolen a couple games.
And you look at, like, that's the thing that makes this season so frustrating. Like, yes, they're problems across the board, but if Tom Fitzgerald just pulled the trigger, maybe even just as soon as 2 weeks before the trade deadline, for something as minimal as getting Jake Allen in the building, I think maybe things could be different. Maybe,
you know, we talked about that last show. Like, okay, they got Allen for a third round pick. Why couldn't you have done that earlier? But even if that wasn't, you're so hung up on getting like the key guy, even if that wasn't the plan, midway in the year, you say, all right, I'm gonna get Allen for now.
Right.
While I'm still working on Markstrom.
And I show the team that, like, I know that this is a problem and I'm doing everything I can to help you guys out. You know, that does give the team confidence. They don't feel like management just doesn't give a shit about them. And if you were a Devil this year, you probably thought like that a lot in the middle of the season. Like, why is nobody doing anything to get a goaltender in here? Nobody's going to come out and say it, but they know the goaltending sucks. And that made the whole team play, you know, so much worse. And
especially by you got to the point where you had to bring Dawes up, which I'm not knocking him, and I wanted him to be able to succeed. I wanted all of them to succeed, But, you know, Dawes was not in the beginning of this year's plans, right?
No.
So the moment we had to bring Dawes up to replace Schmidt, that's when we should have been looking seriously to get somebody in, because, you know, our original plan was not going to, you know, if Dawes was going to be the fill-in for Schmidt, that's fine and all, but you're not even playing Vanacek because you have no confidence in him either. You need a goaltender. It was plainly obvious.
And it was obvious they brought Dawes up. Yeah, you're right, Tom. It was obvious since week three.
With Dawes, Dawes was a good story when he came up again, right? Because he played really well in a few games. But this is the guy, remember we talked about it, he got four games in AHL. He was out the whole season.
Yeah.
He had no time.
No.
So and it really should not have been up.
And look, we didn't give our goaltenders any help. But when you have guys like Jake Allen and Kokkonen, especially tonight and against the Rangers, they came up with the big saves when they needed them to. You know that teams are going to make – no team is perfect, man. Goalies have to make saves. And, that's know, the, your teams are going to make mistakes.
Like, look what they did in front of Allen two nights ago. So, you know, he was not maybe at his sharpest, but nobody was going to win him that game.
No.
That game. No goalie is going to win that game for you. You played horrible that game. So, you know, maybe you never know with those early saves. That's what happened tonight too, right? Kokkonen made some great early saves, really tough saves, penalty kill situations. And you know, if the Islanders score that first goal, which could have very easily happened, totally different game, you know? So you never know.
Yeah, all true. And before we play the devil you know this week, we'll give a little shout out to our Hockey Podcast Network sponsor, DraftKings Sportsbook. We know hockey moves fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. And this week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. And if you took the odds of Kaapo Kokkonen getting a shutout tonight, I bet that was paying off big. But to do it, you have to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now with code THPN, and new customers bet $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available. For problem gambling, call 888-789-7777 or visit CCBG. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. cdkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved. You guys want to play a game?
Oh, yeah, let's play a game. Sure.
Shall we play a game?
Buckle up, boys and girls. It is time for the Devil You Know on the Uncle Pucker New Jersey Devil Podcast.
Hey, Bob, did you put the last one in the draft?
I did, yes.
Okay, cool. So I'm just going to leave that to you. So we're going to play the Devil You Know, the most fun and interactive game in hockey podcast history. That's right. Dan tonight is going to be our clue giver. He's going to give us clues to a former New Jersey Devil player. Myself, Bobby, and Tony have to try and guess who it is. We get three incorrect guesses before we're eliminated. We can ask Dan any question he wants, and he can or cannot answer. It's completely up to him. Past Devil You Knows are Wayne Simmons, Jimmy Vesey, Paul Martin, Mike Dunham, Jason Arnott. Tony has the lead right now for season two with three, four, five wins. Bobby has 5 wins. Oh, so you guys are tied.
Ooh,
I have 3 wins, and Dan is looking for win number one. Looking to get
Dan, here's your chance, bud. You can shut us all out and take a point for that.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
It hasn't happened.
No, but you can't do
that. Neither
did
a shutout. Why couldn't
I mean, people just one clue then. Oh, you didn't get it?
No. We all three of us have to come up with at least three guesses. You're fucked. If we're wrong.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. I see what you're saying. I can live with that. Okay. Yeah. All right, Dan, whenever you're ready.
Okay. So this former Devil is a left winger and shoots left. You got it yet?
Bobby left winger.
I'm not guessing it.
He's a left winger and shoots left. Ken Danica.
No. Were you Tony?
Yep.
He's a defenseman.
Shoot out answers.
Chris Terreri.
No.
This devil.
That's two right there, right?
Yeah, that's two.
Yeah, it is two. This former devil was selected 48th overall in the 2001 entry draft by New Jersey.
2001, you said?
2001.
Okay. Drafted by New Jersey, 48th overall in 2001. Okay.
God, we're old.
This former devil has a career of one goal and one assist.
It's a juggernaut.
Yeah.
How long did he play?
This is going to be a tough one.
I know.
I already had a name, and I'm pretty sure I'm wrong.
What year was he drafted at? 2001?
What's that?
2001.
And what number was he drafted?
68, I want to say.
48 is what you said. Yeah. No, dude. Is that right? Or is that just what you wanted to say?
48.
Okay, 48.
Well, yeah.
How long did he play in the league, Dan?
Let's see. His total time in the league.
5 games.
I know. Like, this is worse than a Tony one.
The NHL? Yes. Is 15 games.
Oh, come on.
Okay, 15 total games.
Did he play them all with New Jersey?
I hope
yes.
So.
Okay. Yes, he did.
Okay.
And he has also played in Finnish leagues.
Finnish. Is he Finnish?
He is indeed Finnish.
Well, that makes sense.
Timo Solani.
Yes. Only 15 games under his belt.
Amazing. That's the numbers, too.
Going to have to go a little deeper.
Yeah. And here we go. He played, actually, these 15 games over 3 total seasons. So not a lot of time per season.
Dan.
It is a left wing. Chris, are you really going to allow this on your show?
It's not my show.
Mostly your show.
I mean, he does have extensive time with all of these. You want to know what happened? You want to know what happened? You know who I was actually prepared for until you read off who he did already?
Oh, my God. You want me to – Dan, time out. Let's go back. Dan, I have one done. Let's do mine.
All right, let's do yours.
Okay.
And then you have to do yours. I know we put that list somewhere, but I forgot where it was, so I didn't check it.
In the – go into the, we'll tell you later. But
when you said Paul Martin, I'm like, fuck.
Oh, God.
Should we at least say who it is then?
You had it, Paul Martin?
You wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know it.
Then let's hear it. We're never going
to
use it again.
Who were you going with?
Here's why I did it, too, because I went back to the same roster I got Paul Martin off of. And so it was Thomas Peelman. I don't remember him either.
I remember the name, but I would have never guessed that.
Yeah. Damn, that's just me.
So you found out.
I didn't realize.
You wanted to do Paul Martin, and you had to pivot.
Yeah.
So you just kind of Googled, I got to find a guy.
No, I just went back to the roster that I got Paul Martin from, you know?
All right.
I'm like, there's a name.
All right, so we're going to start over. Chris,
take a deep breath.
Dan will get next week?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Well, so let's do a switcheroo if you're ready. That's all I like that.
Shall we play a game?
Oh, we missed that anyway.
Buckle up, boys and girls. It is time for the Devil You Know on the
you guys
Uncle
would have never got that one.
New Jersey Devil Podcast.
All right, it's time again for the Devil You Know. I explain the rules. If you don't know them, you're just catching us now. Go back 3 minutes and listen again. All right, this former New Jersey Devil was born March 9th. 1964. He's 5'10", he weighs 185 pounds, and he's a left-shooting defenseman.
Ken Danica.
No.
Lefty.
No. This guy never won a Stanley Cup. He played in the league from 1982 to 2003.
Oh, good for him.
So he was not with the Devils during their cup years, is what you're saying.
No, he was not with the Devils during his cup years. He played
for... Well, he had no cup years, right?
He played... What's that?
He had no cup years.
Right. He never won a cup.
He has played in finals, but he has never won the cup. He played for 8 NHL teams.
Did he finish with the Devils?
No.
Oh, so on the early side.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you the teams. He played for Buffalo, Winnipeg, St. Louis, Calgary, New Jersey, Washington, Chicago, and Toronto.
Wow. I feel like we should know who this is just by that many teams.
You should.
5'10", you said? Isn't that a big guy?
No, not that big. 5'10". On February 21st, 2000, he played his 1,257th NHL game, which was most ever by an American-born player at the time. It was,
oh, shit.
It was beaten by Chris Chelios a couple of years later. But
I'm sorry, how many games was that again?
1,257.
Al McGinnis.
He never played for the Devils.
No, man, no. But I'm just thinking, like, that's a lot of games. That's a lot of games.
It's not the St. Louis Blue, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, it's a lot
of games.
Dave
Vanderchuk?
Was a forward. Oh, yeah, this guy's a forward, too. Durr.
He was bigger than
you said defenseman. He was a defenseman.
Oh, you said defenseman.
Yeah,
my bad.
Defenseman.
I'm pulling a Tony.
So, no, it's not Dave Vanderchuk. You got me confused. And on June 26, 2019, he signed a multi-year contract with the Arizona Coyotes to be their assistant coach.
Oh.
He's the youngest defenseman in NHL history to score 30 goals in a season. He was a Norris Trophy runner-up in 1992.
We should know this. We should definitely know this.
Phil Housley.
Phil Housley. Nice one, Bobby.
That's a good one. That's
a good
one,
Bobby. Calgary, yeah.
I had
to have
a clue.
On that power play. He was like the quarterback back there. He was awesome.
Yeah. I had two clues that I know. I knew that if no one got it this time, Tony definitely would have probably gotten
Team
this
USA
one.
USA played with when they won.
Yeah, he did. Which one? Where was this? That he was drafted 6th overall in 1992 by the Buffalo Sabres. I thought that you might get that.
It was a good one.
Then, it's not the USA thing would have gotten.
And
it's
or
not as
this
good as, a Tomas Peelman kind
no,
of.
No, definitely not. Him. In 1996, the Devils sent Jocelyn Lemieux, Tommy Albeline, and Cale Hulse to the Calgary Flames for this defenseman
and Dan
Ketzmer. So,
you know, the
I
only reason
I
got this, it became obvious to me this was like a very prolific player.
Yes.
And I'm like, who did we trade for that didn't win a cup that I really thought should have? And that's the only guy that really stood out.
That was good. Yeah. Phil Housley was an awesome player. And I did like him on this team. He had a really good year with the Devils. And then they didn't keep him. But yeah.
Dougie Gilmore, too. He's the other guy that comes to mind in that situation, but not as a defenseman.
No. Yep. And what did Dougie Gilmore play? Like, he came over at the trade deadline, right? And I think we lost in the first round of the playoffs that year. And
it was such a shame. He was awesome with the team. He was, and it just didn't work out that year for them.
Well, before we wrap it up tonight, I do want to, like, we brought him up before, but what's changed with Jesper Bratt in these last couple of weeks? And I know he's not putting the puck in the net, but I'm talking about his all-around effort and then coming out after the Senator game and saying what he said. I thought that was awesome. Like, we just got stupid and lazy. And
I think he started listening to the show. I think he said, wait a second, everybody's noticing this about me. I've got to change my ways.
It's well documented that since we started a podcast, the Devils went on a career year in points.
Yes.
So it's very possible he's listening to the show and he's ready to have a career year in points next year.
I thought there might be a little bit more to it, but apparently that's it. But yeah, he's been playing great.
Sometimes you just need that moment to step up and say what you say. And then from there on, you just become kind of a different voice. He has been becoming more and more of a leader on this team since he's kind of aged with the team. And hopefully he takes that and runs with it because he does have all the talent in the world. I know we shit on him once or twice as far as the type of goals he's scoring and this and that. And that's more out of frustration because we look at the whole team and say there's 3, 4, 5 key guys. When this is happening, just give us a goal. Give us something, you know, to cheer about, move the team forward. And we weren't really seeing that, but if he can be the player we're seeing now consistently, and by consistently, that really means most of the time, right? No one's going to do it all the time. Then we have a hell of a player.
I have a lot of hope for him. I mean, I think they're different players, but like in some ways, he reminds me a little bit of Peter Sikora. When he first came on, he was responsible defensively and everything because he had to be in that system. But he wasn't like necessarily the clutch goal scorer. And we've complained about his brat there with those beautiful goals in clutch time. Sikora turned out to be a clutch goal scorer. He definitely did as he evolved with the team. So hopefully that's, you know, something that we're going to see Brat do. And hopefully there's a lot more clutch goals to be had this year. And he delivers them because that's been the knock. Hopefully that's what changes.
I remember the end of last season, like during the playoffs, we were talking about the same thing. And we're asking, can he score in the playoffs? And I, for one, was like, this is a short sample. I'm really looking forward to next year's playoffs. Like, let's see again. Like, I can't judge it on 1 year.
Right.
And unfortunately, I don't know that we're going to see that this year. But I do still feel in my heart of hearts, I like that we have
this. We know exactly we're not going to see that this year.
We have a 3% chance we're going to see it, Chris. What kind of fan are you? Like a Joe Fano.
I mean, look, Joe Fano's so pissed right now that we just shut out the Islanders. He's probably crying in his mother's basement. But
Joe Fano's a Devil guy. I told you this.
He's an Islander.
No, he's an Islander fan.
Bob?
I created Joe Fano a fan account. He was a Devils fan.
But way to go with the bit, Bob. Jesus Christ.
I know the bit.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you really?
That's a Long Island accent that Joe Fano has.
All right. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up for tonight. Anything you guys want to add? What are you looking forward to this week?
Possibly another shutout.
I might miss the friggin' Toronto game. I'm kind of annoyed. I have to take my daughter to Philadelphia. She's going to see a concert, and I'm not comfortable with her driving into the city by herself. So she's going to meet some friends. I'm not annoyed that I'm, you know, driving there. I'm just kind of annoyed that I'm going to miss the game. So.
Why don't you put it on your phone?
Because I'm probably, my battery will friggin' go dead. My phone's a pain in the ass to charge. It just, trust me, it's like nothing plugged. I have so much food grease and flour and shit stuck in my port. I fuck with this thing for like 45 minutes before I go to bed just to get it to charge. So
maybe you take the pop socket off and that'll help.
I like the pop socket because when I'm at work and I put it with the game on, I can put the stand it up on my pop socket. Pop socket had nothing to do with charging it.
It could be. It might be a problem. It's not standard equipment with that phone.
It's an Uncle Pop or pop socket.
Is it really?
Wore off, yeah. But
no wonder it doesn't work.
Yeah.
On that note, real quick, too, for anyone listening, again, we're trying to figure out a way to bring the audience into the Pucker predictions. So please, if you're interested, go to the website, theunclepuckers.com, fill out the comment form or whatever. Just let us know that it's something you'd even be willing to do so we can start to put together how we can actually make this work.
And like we said last week, go to upperdeck.com, look for their NHL most enthusiastic fan, and check out NJ Dezels. She is our representative on that contest, so go and vote for her. She's a huge Devil fan, and you know what? Devil fans are the best fans in the friggin' world, and Upper Deck should fucking know it. That's all.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. And we'll be back next week, and we'll talk about the Maple. I'm really looking forward to that Maple Leaf game. I haven't played them all year.
Is that the one you're going to miss?
Yeah. Well, I'll probably tape it, and then I'll just watch it late night. But whatchamacallit, I'm really looking forward to that because they play a lot like we played last year, you know, not this year. But, you know, that could be a really fun game, a lot of scoring. We'll see what happens.
All right.
For Dan, Tony, and Bobby, I'm Chris. We're the Uncle Puckers. We'll see you when we see you.
Peace.
Bye-bye.
It's over, Johnny. It's over!